usually you start praying maybe a week or so whenever you're going to preach, and Lord, give me something. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to tell my story because nobody knows my story like my story, and it's my testimony. I'm definitely not a Bible scholar, thank God, because there's no telling what y'all would get out of it. Of who I am, all the things that have happened in my life, while I could wonder what would I do to change things, if I did, would it have brought me to where I am now? And likely, very likely, it probably wouldn't have. You know, when you write your story out, you remember things or you try to forget things, and you know, and then you're like, Lord, why'd I do that? Or why didn't I do that? You know, I grew up in church. I heard a joke, it was so funny. This lady said, whenever I was a kid, I had a drug problem. And I was like, what? And she was like, my mother drugged me to church every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday. That was her drug problem. And I had that problem too. It wasn't, are we going to church today? It was, you're going to church. You got 104 temptations. You need to be in church because you need to be healed. You need a little Jesus. Jesus can heal you, girl. Or if you were lonely or you were feeling down or whatever it was, you need to be in church. It was a given that we were going to church. I got saved at a very early age. I got saved when I was 9. But from there, you know, I was raised Baptist. A very good raising. That was a very, very good upbringing. The one thing the Baptists do, and they do well, is they teach you the Word. You are in Sunday school, and they teach you the Word. And it's a beautiful thing. But when I was about 14, my mom got a wild hair and decided that she was going to go to church with a friend of hers. And it was friend day. And I think we've had one friend day when we were here. I'd love to do it again where you bring somebody. But you invite people to church. And so her friend invited her to a Church of God, which is Pentecostal. And so my mother went. She come home, and she was so different. It was so weird. It was like, you've been somewhere, you know, somewhere good. She never went back to the Baptist church. She went there. So I went to church with her. In the Baptist church, I was taught all these things that you didn't do, you know, and then here I am at Church of God, and they're speaking in tongues, and I didn't see anybody jump the pew that day, but it was close. You know, the music was amazing. It was, there's something more. I know there's something more. When I was sitting in a Baptist church, and there I knew I had connected with something. And it was the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Spirit. Not that the Holy Spirit wasn't there in the Baptist church, but I just felt it in a whole different, new way. Okay? I was sitting there, and being Baptist, you're taught that tongues is of the devil. And so I was sitting there, and all these people were speaking in tongues, and they had their hands lifted, and they had their hands raised, and it was just a whole new experience, and here I am, and I'm like, Lord, have mercy, I don't know what this is, but I like it. But I'm scared to death. I'm scared. But that fear was from the devil. It wasn't from God, because God was like, yeah, this is it. This is it. I was sitting on the back pew. I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I started speaking in tongues. And I'm like, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I know I'm going to hell. But the devil will play tricks on your mind. I mean, he will sit there, and what you got, he will minimize that and try to make you be even more fearful than you were before you even got it. That started my walk in a different path, and I never went back to the Baptist church, but my roots are very, very grounded in the Baptist church. I think of fond memories of that little Baptist church, you know. Growing up, I grew up in a very double-minded home where my mother drugged me to church. My father was opposite. He didn't go to church. My father was an alcoholic, and he was a weekend alcoholic. During the week, he didn't drink. He went to work, but on the weekends, he was very, very much opposite of that. And so he would drink and do and say things, and he was very angry, and he was very bitter and very hard. On the outside, though, on the outside of our home, people thought he was wonderful because he was. He had a beautiful heart, but all that anger and that bitterness and all that stuff just consumed him. Fits of rage, and he would have that temper and all of that stuff. People thought that he was wonderful outside of the home, and that he was a good provider, and that he was all these things, but truth is, he really wasn't. He would give and give and give and give, but at home he would take and take and take and take, if that makes sense. And he loved me in the best way he knew how, and he loved my brother the best way he knew how, and he loved my mother the best way he knew how. But that wasn't the proper way of love, and we've talked about what love is and what love isn't, and the way he loved us was his version, but it wasn't love. I got a very double-minded perspective of the world and what God was and what the world was. And so the funny thing is my dad, we would wake up, and if we didn't go to church, if something, my mom had something going on at work or whatever, which was very rare, but he would say, "Why aren't you going to church?" And I'm like, "Why aren't you going to church?" You know, of course, that started like a little bit of an argument, but growing up in a double-minded home caused me to be double-minded as well in certain aspects of my life. I barely made it through high school. I hated school. The only thing I liked about school was lunch and PE. And it's just because it was a social event. But I made it through. And then I went on to college and ended up liking it there. You know, I was serving God, and I loved him with all my heart. But I knew that there was something missing. There was a void there, and I didn't know what that void was. I ended up a couple of years into school and ended up leaving there and going back to Alabama. Kind of went down a downward spiral from there. I had been accused of being gay, and I was trying so hard not to be gay. And I was just supporting some friends and just happened to be in a really at the right place, but at the wrong time, just supporting people, and somebody saw me and threatened to tell my mom, and that was a big no-no because I didn't want her knowing, because I didn't want to bring shame to her, you know, or to my family, and that's what I felt it was shame. You know, I had a lot of shame about who I was, and you talk about praying the gay away, let me tell you, if I could pray the G-A-Y away, then everything would be okay, I'd be fine. I had been accused of these things, and people were telling me, "You can't serve God." I had never heard that before. You can't serve God and be gay. I'd never heard that. But then somebody told me that, so I started believing that. Well, you can't be gay and serve God. Oh, well, maybe you're right, because it does say it in the Bible. I started believing that. But that's not what the Bible says. And Pastor Keith preaches very clearly on that. That void was there. I started down this downward spiral of trying to become somebody that I wasn't. I didn't want to be gay. I didn't date anybody for a very long time. But then an event happened in my life where I was like, "God, I'm just going to take my life. I have nothing to live for. I can't do this. I just can't do it." And so I had a gun to my head. And this tells me I didn't want to do it, but I just felt I had no out. The phone rings and I answer it. "Hello?" The person on the other line asked for somebody else. I said, "That's wrong, you have the wrong number." He said, "Okay." We ended up talking, and he said, "You know, whatever you're about to do," I mean, it was a God thing. It was God. "Whatever you're about to do, it's not worth it." And then the more we talked, I knew who this person was. It happened to be my pastor from that little country church that I grew up in. That's God. That is God. His name was Ellen Oswald, and he was one of the best men I'd ever met in my life. He was a father when I didn't have a father. From there, talking to him, I turned my life completely back over to God. And I said, "You know what? Take it. Take the gay. Do whatever you want to do. I'm going to live as if it's not a big deal. And you use it or you do with it whatever you want to do." I stayed single for a very long time. It didn't change overnight. I still had that depression. I still had some of those things. It didn't change overnight. But it took me working through those things to get to where I am. And sometimes God does that. He doesn't take it away. He wants you to work through things so that you learn and you grow and that you don't just miraculously. If you hand somebody $1 million without them earning it, what happens? I had to work for and earn, and God showed me just different things through that depression and through that anger and through that bitterness. I had become my father, who I didn't want to be. I was angry, and I had a temper, and it was just ugly. I was just ugly, and so God said, you know what? Work through those things, Gina, because it will make you a better person. But work through them with me, not against me. I said, all right. So I worked in church. You know, I worked on the drama team and the missions team and all this good stuff. And I ended up meeting someone. And he was a fantastic Church of God boy and being a youth minister. And so he and I started building this youth group together. And it started getting large and big and all these things. And all the while, I know I'm still fighting that whole gay thing. I'm still going through all this. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then this person comes to me and he says, you know what? I think God is calling me to lead a church, to pastor a church. And I'm like, oh, crap. Not for him, but for me. I got to pray. I really got to pray about this. And God, I started praying and God truly showed me. He said, you know what? You can hurt this boy now and you can deal with this now. Or later, whenever you are part of a large church and he has a congregation and you hurt his ministry and you hurt his witness and you hurt all of these things, it's not just you anymore. And I was like, ooh, you know, it isn't about me. And so I had a long talk with him and told him my issues and said, I can't do this. Believe it or not, he understood, and he's still my friend today. We don't talk very much, but when I see him, I always see him in Cracker Barrel when I go home. I don't know what that is about, but I do. But and he's married, he has 3 children, and he has a huge ministry, and he walked away from the ministry for a while, you know, and had I have lived my life as if I was not who I was, I could have ruined a lot of lives in the process. And this is just my story. I'm not saying this is your story, but this is my story. I finally had to start dealing with, okay, can I be gay? Can I be Christian? Can I be gay and not go to hell? Can I be all of these things? And God said, you sure can, girl. You sure can. And I said, okay, well, show me how. Because I don't know. He said, this is what you need to do. You need to follow me as if gay is nowhere to be found. You need to seek me as if you're not a gay person, but you are a person. You are my child. You're the person who loves me, and I love you. It doesn't matter if you're gay, if you're straight, if you're green, if you're purple, if you're pink, if you're red. It doesn't matter. But serve me as if you're just my child. You are a child of God. And so guess what? That's what I did. Somewhere down the road, I ended up meeting someone, and it lasted a very short time. It was like a couple of dates, but I ended up dating a girl. And I started stepping out into that, you know, who I am. Slowly but surely, I knew I had to tell my family. I had to tell my mom. I didn't care about anybody else. It was my mom that I truly cared about, you know, because I didn't want to hurt her. And so it was around Thanksgiving time. Now it's when I got to do it. And I had talked to my sister-in-law, and she said, you know, just tell her, because I was going to wait until after the holidays. Just tell her now. And I'm like, but it's Thanksgiving. We got to be thankful. She's going to be upset. You know, I don't want, you know. So anyway, so I go to her house and can you pass the mashed potatoes? Oh yeah, I'm gay. No, that's not how it happened at all. No, I'm just teasing. But I did, I sat down with her and I said, you know, I got something to tell you. And I said, the person that I am right now, without even talking to you about anything, is gonna be the same person I am after I talk to you. I'm still me. It's just, you're going to learn something different. And so I spilled it. I just said, I've had these attractions for years, and da-da-da, and I said, I'm gay. And she said, okay. And she didn't say anything else, and then I knew. You know, when they don't say anything, that's when you're like, oh, Lord, do I need a bat and duct tape? She and I had a very good talk, and she said, and I explained to her why I left college, and I had been accused, and all of this stuff, and she said, you know what? Why didn't you just say it? Why didn't you just face it? And I said, because I was afraid of hurting you, and I'm afraid of, you know, that shame and all those things. And she said, I don't understand it, but I don't have to understand it. And I don't know if I accept it, but I don't have to accept it. But I have to accept my child, and I have to love you. And I do. She was amazing. But here's the thing. The devil had me convinced that I was never going to be able to speak to my mom again. All of these things. He had me so convinced that I was going to be abandoned. But when I faced it, when I faced those fears, she may not have understood it. Up until the day she died, I don't know that she did. But she loved Jenny like a daughter. And she would have done anything for us. But that's my story of coming out. But that wasn't who I was. I was still a Christian, and she knew it. She said, I see the fruits. I see your fruits. I see the good and the love and the, you know, the crazy. But I see all those things, you know. How can I deny that you are a Christian just because you love a woman? I can't deny that. That started building my faith, you know, and not just God, but a faith in myself that, you know what, I can be gay and I can be saved and I can be a Christian, all these things. And so I started building faith in myself. And then I met someone, and my mom told me, she's like, this girl is not the girl for you. She's like, she will take everything you have. She is going to take you for a ride. She's going to steal your joy. She's going to walk you down the path. Everything. And I didn't listen. And this girl pulled me from my family. She pulled me away from the thing, my support system. But I let her. That's the thing. I let her. My mom in my ear the whole time. And she wasn't judgmental. She was just like, I care about you. I care about where you're headed. I care about where you are with your relationship with Christ. And right now, it's not very pretty. While you are walking with him and talking with him, I just don't see where you're growing in him. And so anyway, we ended up breaking up. And everything that my mother said, she did. So listen to your mama. If you don't have your mom with you, listen to Kathy. Listen to Kathy. But if you have your mom and she is telling you that somebody is not for you, listen. Okay? But I was single for a good long while. And in that time that it was just me and God, it was a beautiful time because I grew. And I got back to where I was, but not just where I was, but I started exceeding where I was. And the beauty of God is that he will give you more and more and more if you seek him more and more and more. Throughout that time, Jenny and I had been not talking, but do y'all remember MySpace? But Jenny and I had a mutual friend on Facebook. I'm sorry. See, I'm trying to forget it. But on MySpace. And it was really weird how it kind of started. And it was just like, hey, you know. And we would comment on each other's page or anyway. The crazy thing is, at the end of it all, when we ended up meeting, I was coming here to Atlanta for a meeting. And I said, hey, you want, and this was like a 2-year period that we had been talking. We had been, we we started just commenting on each other's page, and then we would message every now and then, and then we ended up texting and then talking. But this was like a long time. I mean, it's like a little period of time. It got to where I was like, I really like this girl. So I was coming here for a meeting and asked her to go on a date with me. And she lived in Noonan at the time, in the boondocks Noonan. But I had no idea how far it was from Atlanta. And she was like, are you going to come down here? And I was like, yeah, I'm coming there. Well, I'll meet you halfway, or I'll meet you in Atlanta. And I was like, no. And so went on a date. And from there, I was like, oh, my Lord. I think I done met my wife. During that 2 years, preparing not just for someone, but preparing myself to love and to be loved, I had made a list of the things that I wanted, and I wasn't going to compromise. And that list did change every now and then. It was like, ooh, I don't need that. Here I met this woman, and she's Holy Ghost filled. She's Spirit filled. She's in church. She's all of these things. And I was like, Lord, why didn't I wait on this in the beginning? I could have saved myself a whole lot of trouble. She's the love of my life. I wouldn't take anything for her. And she's mom approved and family approved and God approved. And it's a beautiful thing. But like I said, this is my story, and this is what led me here. It's not that I've ever done anything crazy bad. I haven't ever been addicted to anything. I've never robbed anybody, but that's my story. And so God had his hand on me my whole life. And that's the beauty of God. And he protected me from a lot. Because let me tell you, I could have went a lot of different ways. I had an alcoholic father that I could have turned to alcohol. I had, in my mom's side of the family, I have a lot of drug abuse. I could have turned to drugs. But God protected me in so many ways throughout my life. And let me tell you, some people have had lives that are just hell. And people have had lives that are just great. But you have a testimony. It doesn't matter. God could protect you, or you could have turned and ran the whole way away from him. But you have a testimony. And my testimony is that God protected me. I tell you, I've learned that it takes the Holy Spirit to guide and to push and to, you know, sometimes drag me to new awareness and new truth of him in my life. I know I wouldn't be right here, right now, if things didn't happen exactly the way that they did. And if I could change it, would I? A little? Maybe? Stupid decisions? Maybe. But if I changed it, would I alter who I am or where I am? Paul said it best. He says, rejoice in your suffering. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. Your past and the things that you've done and where you've been has molded you, has guided you to where you are. You may be in a very good place right now, and you may be in a very bad place right now. But guess what? God can change the bad, and he can make it good. And I know I've picked on Kathy today, but I look at people like Kathy, who is one of the most sensitive, funny, our sense of humors are very much alike. God, if you weren't where you were, God could have never delivered you to where you are now. Right? And so wherever you are or wherever you were, God can change those things and he can make you a new creation in him. He can make you a beautiful creation. He created you to be awesome in him. The more you seek him, the more that you'll find him. But here's the thing, you have to listen and you have to grab onto it. If you're standing beside Jesus and he's walking beside you, if you don't grab a hold of him and just run with him, you're missing out. You're really, really missing out. And I don't know if you're, you know, my story has meaning to you. I don't know if it's, you can apply it in any way, shape, or form. But God deserves your whole attention. I have a short attention span. But let me tell you, when it comes to God, I listen. I let him guide me. I let him use me. I let him work with me. But he deserves much more of your attention, because your story is your story. And people need to hear your story. And he knew exactly what I needed in the time that I needed it. If you'll stand with me.